Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 167. This is the Halo edition. Give you two guesses as to why that was. Hopefully, everybody out there is having a great week so far. This is actually like my Monday. Actually, it's more like my Monday and Tuesday all rolled in together, since we actually had Monday and Tuesday off for Paul's birthday. Paul Jr., that is. Not mine. Mine's later on in the year, you know what I mean? But it was great time had by all. We ended up taking him to the zoo, and he got to walk around. He was like 2 feet away from a gorilla. It was unbelievable. There was a little glass in between him, and my boy proudly stared him down. So that was kind of fun, you know what I mean? It was just great. We're actually members of the Philadelphia Zoo, but this is the first time that we've ever taken him there, and he's ever, I guess, been old enough to be cognizant of what's going on around him. You know, he kind of was just sort of sitting there staring at things before. Now, like, we went on a weekday. There was no one there. It was unbelievable. We got to walk around. We got to, relax as we walked through the zoo. I think we spent something like 4 or 5 hours there, which is rare for us, because usually we go through about, 2-3 hours, and then we head off. But it's just great, and they're doing good work over there at the Philadelphia Zoo. So if you'd like to check them out, you can go over to philadelphiazoo.org and see the stuff over there. So if you're ever going to be in Philadelphia, I'd heartily recommend you actually check it out. They're America's oldest zoo, so it's kind of neat seeing what they're doing with some of the older buildings there. But, all right, I digress. You are listening to the Caffeination Not podcast, not the zoo podcast or anything else like that. So hopefully everybody, like I said, is having a great week so far. Lots of energy here, lots of excitement happening. We're all booked up because of the Halo edition. I actually went out with my brother-in-law on Monday night, midnight on Tuesday morning, picked up my cheap copy of Halo, and, I rocked it out for a little bit that night, rocked it out for a little bit tonight, and you know what? After I'm done this episode, I'm going to head right back on over there. It's a sickness. I got a fever, and the only thing that can cure it's more Halo. It's pretty bad. I have actually done a review. We'll talk to you that a little bit later on. I just wanted to give you a whole little new interesting thing. This is the 26th of September, 2007. You are listening to Caffeination 167, which you can find lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. We'd like to welcome all of our new and returning listeners. This show would not be anything without you. You download it. You make the active decision to participate in the show by clicking play, by listening, and we'd like to thank you from the very bottom of our heart over here for doing this, the royal way, as it was. But we think we've built this show up into something that's pretty much, I think it's a show to be proud of. I am quite proud of what I've accomplished so far in the year and a half plus that it's been on the air, tubes, as it was. But hopefully everybody out there enjoys it as well. So we'd like to welcome all of our new and returning listeners, everybody. This is one giant community, so anything you send in to me, if you'd like to see certain things, please feel free to do it. If you'd like to get into contact with me, you can do it via email at caffeination@gmail.com. You can dial into our listener line at 215-240-1319. If you're in the continental United States, you can actually click the Call Me button over at the Caffeination homepage. Skype is The Caffeination, all one word. I'm available to chat, do whatever, let's see. What else? So, you can leave an audio comment, albeit a little short, so you might have to try and squeeze your questions in there. I actually have a request to get into a longer beta for that, but, All right, we'd like to say thank you to our sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. If you're looking for a better way to present or work together during your conference calls, your solution is quite simple: web conferencing with GoToMeeting. During your call, everyone logs on to GoToMeeting.com, and your computer screen shows up on all of their monitors. Wow, pardon me. A little coffee went down the wrong pipe there. It's like you're all in the same room. GoToMeeting is perfect for sales or product demos, training, or real-time collaboration. Plus, you're not charged one of those pesky per-minute fees like some of the other providers that you get out there. You can meet as often as you want, as long as you need to, for one flat rate. With GoToMeeting, you can meet with anyone, anywhere, anytime, without ever having to leave your office. You'll not only end up saving a serious amount of money, but a whole hell of a lot of time as well. You can see for yourself, try GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting free for 45 days. That's more than enough time to evaluate pretty much any product. Come on. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. All right, we'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. We do have one little thing before we send out. We'd just like to suggest that if you feel that you'd like to give us that kind of information, that kind, you can head on over to caffeination.com and please click the audience survey link. We're actually trying to get more sponsors up there. I know some of the information might seem a little bit personal. Specifically, I've had complaints about the income, but unfortunately, that's one of the things the advertisers require. I actually wrote to some people and said, you know, is this really necessary? I have people who don't want to really put that down there. They say, well, people who run the advertising agencies, the people who, the powers that be in this world, want to know who they're talking to. They want to know, okay, are these affluent people? Are these poor people? Not that I care who my listeners are. In fact, I really don't have access to the data as of yet. But it goes in to create a media kit for my show, and hopefully we'll be able to pull in another advertiser at least. I think we're only going to head up to two here. We're do two sponsors for the show. We already have a unbelievable partnership with GoToMeeting, so we'd like to keep that going. And then we're possibly thinking about pulling in a second one to try and make this show really take off, allow me the latitude to do so many more things. But I digress slightly here. We have a musical interlude planned for you right off the beginning of the show. This is provided by the PodSafe Music Network. We are going to be exploring other venues of PodSafe Music, specifically iota.net, that we might actually be trying that on the next show, and you're actually going to be able to buy their music and download it. If you buy on a per-song basis, apparently you can use the songs that you purchase on your iPod, if you have one. If you'd like to go the subscription route, then you need to have a slightly different kind of music player. We'll get all into that later on. Let's see what else. I think that pretty much covers it. Today's musical interlude is, of course, provided to you by the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. We have a wonderful band we've actually played here before on the Caffeination Podcast, and you might understand why after we give you their name. This is Sundown Caffeine. It's a band from the Philippines. They are an unbelievably talented group of guys who do this. It's really good alternative music. I guess that's what you'd kind of, if you had to shoehorn them into a genre, they're really all over the place, but like in a great way. So it's like if you were in a room and a bomb of money exploded everywhere. You know, that's all over the place, but in a good way. You know what I mean? It's bad with metaphors right now, but I'm just kind of so jazzed about everything else that's happening right now. So hopefully you'll enjoy this song. We have Sundown Caffeine with their song Last Star. I was actually going to play a song with the word Halo in the title. It was actually called Halo Effect. Unfortunately, the song was 13 minutes long, so if I actually do a podcast later on all about Halo, you pretty much know which one I'm going to be playing there, so you can just book 13 minutes for that one. But up here we have Sundown Caffeine with their song... Of course, I click off on the window at the right point in time. Sorry about that, folks. This is a one-take deal here at the Caffeination. Sundown Caffeine with their song Last Star from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. Here you go. Tell me what you think of this one.
You're so secure, you better ready yourself for tomorrow. If there's one thing I'd be sure, there's nothing for you but regret and sorrow. If you want me, you can have me. We can talk before we die. Try to if you want to, just to waste my time. And if you wanna be with me, wait for the last star in the sky. Think you're in a better place, no other home than the world.
reason. Said you want me, then you had me. Put me up with all the lies. Said you loved me, but you used me. Left me high and dry. And if you wanna be with me, wait for the last star in the sky. Wanna be with me, wait for the last star in the sky.
Again, that was Sundown Caffeine and their song Last Star from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. Hopefully you enjoyed that. It's a fun little ditty from them and from the PodSafe Music Network. If you'd like to find their site, you can head on over to sundowncaffeine.com. They have a whole bunch of cool stuff over there. I'd heartily suggest that you check it out. All right, well, we might want to head on right into the tech tidbits today here. We have the word on the street by popular demand, actually, because of we had listeners calling in and writing in after we had the call in. We had Michael call in asking me to bring back the vocabulary, and I didn't have enough time to actually head back and check out what I called the segment. Not that it really matters, but I think we're going to do it the word on the street here. I'm going to take little buzzwords, I'm going to take other definitions of things and try and break them down for you, just so you know what's out there, just so that if you hear it, you become fully buzzword compliant, and you can exist in your company and or entity with knowing all the latest that's happening in tech news and everything else like that. So a little bit more of an educational bend on this one. This is the word on the street here is crowdsourcing. Now, crowdsourcing is one of those funky buzzwords which you're not really sure if it's popular because people are saying it's a buzzword or if it's a buzzword because it just makes sense to have it. Crowdsourcing basically means you take any task, and it's a derivation of outsourcing. So if you were a company and you were going to take the task of, let's just say, designing a website, if you wanted to take this task and you didn't really want to pay somebody in the United States, Britain, Canada, whatever else, you didn't want to pay somebody a locally available and commonly acceptable wage, then you would outsource it to a company, to a country or company that has cheaper labor. So you might send it over to India, you might send it down to South America, whatever else you'd like to, and depending on how comfortable you felt with it, you could subcontract things. This kind of stuff's been going on for a while. Now take that, and instead of sending it out into the lower reaches of the tech community, into the underdeveloped nations and everything else like that, and paying a fraction of the cost, imagine sending it out into the ether, allowing it to ferment, allowing it to just go out there and become its own entity. So basically, you're taking whatever project you're working on. Like, let's just say you'd like to create an encyclopedia, a novel concept. Hasn't really been done online very well at all. So you'd like to take this thing and you'd like to create or use a piece of software called a wiki. Now, wikis are incredibly crowdsource compliant. That's, in fact, all they really do. It basically allows the unwashed masses to collaborate on one giant document. You can do that with Google Apps to a certain extent. You can muddle around with the spreadsheets and everything else like that. To a certain extent, some of the web presentation technology like GoToMeeting and Breeze Technologies from Adobe and a couple of the other sites out there, to a certain extent, they are crowdsourcing applications, but only in a very limited sense. Crowdsourcing, basically, it's kind of like taking a bulletin board from, like, back in the 90s. Now, if you don't know what this is, if you're too young or if you weren't really into BBSs, basically, imagine the internet, but very much smaller. like, local, and you had to actually dial in with your modem and usually sat in somebody's basement. I know Todd from the Geek News Central actually had his own BBS running for the longest time. So, basically crowdsourcing is allow allowing masses of other people to do your work for you. Firefox is basically a result of crowdsourcing, as is WordPress, the software that runs caffeination.com. Heartily recommend reading up on it if you have a big project that you think might be benefit the common good. People are more likely to, you know, farm their help and their knowledge and expertise out if it looks like it might be towards the common good, or if everybody's going to get a whole boatload of free stuff. So that's just your word on the street. So it was crowdsourcing. Hopefully everybody finds themselves just a little bit more educated. You know, bing, the more you know. All right, get on into the meat and potatoes of this episode. We have a little bit here about Halo. It's this tiny little game published by a company many of you probably don't know called Microsoft. Now, we do have a review of it over at the sister/stepchild site of thecaffeination.com. This is called boilerplate.com, boilerplate.com. It's a review site. Now, Boilerplate, as you may have remembered from previous episodes where we mentioned, is actually experiencing somewhat of a renaissance here. We're trying to redo it. I'm trying to get a little bit more outside involvement. So this, if this seems like something you might be interested in, hey, contact me, and maybe we can work something out where we work on reviews together, or I allow you to write your own reviews, and just trying to put a format up there and see what happens to it. Again, crowdsourcing just a little bit here. But what basically the idea behind Boilerplate was is Boilerplate's that the stuff that's in contracts that nobody reads. It's the, you know, it's the everyday, it's the mundane. But what I wanted to do is take that and make it a format. So instead of like, okay, this is exactly what you'd expect at the end of your contract, yada yada yada, no, this is exactly the format you expect to see all reviews in. So basically it's an opening paragraph up to 8 bullet points, I mean PL8, you know what I mean, and then you have a closing paragraph and a score. That's it. It's usually one page. I haven't actually written an article longer, which is pretty hard for me to do. If you know me, you'll know that I'm just not the kind of guy who can start writing and then stop anytime soon. If I sit down to write a memo, I don't stop until it's like 6 or 7 paragraphs, and it's probably, you know, saying, okay, yeah, this is the kind of software we need to do this, that, or the other. So it's really hard for me to actually condense some of my thoughts down. So I use up to 8 bullet points to highlight the highlights and the lowlights of anything that's going on in this specific product, book, video game, whatever else I decide. Websites, you know, and the like. This one actually got a 7 out of 10. Now, this might seem a little bit low to some of you who aren't familiar with the way that Boilerplate actually runs, but Boilerplate starts out with a 5. Basically, you're not going to review something you're not a fan of. So if you are a fan of first-person shooters, then you would probably be asked to review Halo 3 if I didn't already have it. And even then, we might put multiple reviews up there and just have a whole bunch of different people all chiming in. That's what the idea behind this concept is. So you start off with a 5, and if you get a game that's a 5, it's basically everything you expected and nothing you didn't. So if one of the extra surprises that all of a sudden you have to pay for storage online or something like that, you might start dropping the score down low. It's basically how warmly you receive this. So you try and take all the hype out of the equation. With Halo, it's pretty hard at this point. And you build it up. So if you get a 10 out of 10, this means that either you had unbelievably low expectations for the product, or it blew you away in a way you were not expecting. And I don't think I've actually given out a 10 yet. I know I have a 9 for Bomberman Live. I mean, that one blew me literally out of the water. I had no clue what to do with myself after that. But basically, Halo got a 7 because it is exactly what I expected on some levels. But on other levels, it kind of blew me away. Just with the graphics, I thought they were going to be better, but not this much better. You know what I mean? And at the same point in time, just breaking it down for other things where you're sitting there going, the music is far and above one of the better things about this. So hopefully everybody enjoys this. And we'll see where this takes us. So if you have any ideas for reviews or anything you feel very passionate about that you'd like to check out, please give me a contact. You can email me at caffeination@gmail.com, or you can email me at boilerplate@gmail.com. Figure that one out. Yeah, I don't actually think I gave a 10 yet. I got 2 9s and a couple 5s and a couple 8s. Yep, that's it. You're going to really need to wow me to get a 10 out of this one. So, all right, moving right along. Enough self-love over there. I'll let you go over there to read the 8 bullet points that I got. But hilarity ensues. Just want to kind of make you aware of this. You definitely need... This is required viewing. If you have any even the passing interest in video games, you need to check this out. The fine folks over at LoadingReadyRun.com, comedy troupe extraordinaire, have put together a faux newscast, as it was, of Halo, the evolution of Halo, the future of gaming. They take the original two Halo releases, add on the third, which they actually produced this video on the 22nd of September, so it hadn't even come out yet. The biggest day in entertainment history, as Microsoft is billing it, and they extrapolated beyond that to Halo 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8, 9, and I even believe they had Halo 10 somewhere towards the end. You'll be surprised where they take this, just to kind of give you a little idea for the vein that this pops in. I'm just going to play the first section of this. Hopefully you'll enjoy it, but... Okay, here's the intro to Loading Ready Run. LoadingReadyRun.com, and here we go.
1994. Bungie, a video game studio from Kirkland, Washington, begins to produce a series of video games under the name Marathon. These revolutionary first-person shooters are the first in the genre to introduce dual-wielding weapons and the voice chat in multiplayer matches, a grim specter of things to come. 2000. Black Monday. A name used throughout history for Mondays that see terrible events like riots and massacres. A name Apple computer fans use to describe Monday, June 19th, 2000, when Microsoft purchases Bungie Studios.
All right, we're just going to stop it right there because it only gets better after that. And it's that kind of tone throughout the entire thing. I got to tell you, I used to play Marathon all the time. I love that game. That was awesome. And I didn't even have a Mac at home or anything like that. I was playing it on Macs in school, and we had a little Apple Talk network going, so it was rocking out, you know what I mean? But, I'm excited to where it's gone, and I accidentally got Xbox at the very beginning of this whole thing, so it just went great places, and I'm ecstatic with the coverage of Halo 3, and I'm ecstatic with the actual product at the end of it, so hopefully I'll actually get to play some tonight. I'm like literally chomping at the bit, but my inner businessman, my inner podcaster says, you know what, you have a responsibility to the people who come there every week and download your show. You need to show up to actually do the show. So I was like, you know what, self, you made a good point here. So here we are, and I hope you enjoy this episode. I'm trying not to let my fanboy show too much. I think we only have, 5 more articles about it. No, just kidding. 1 more article about Halo, and then we're on to the actual meat and potatoes here at the episode. And this one's kind of a fun throwaway one. You might have remembered we talked about these before. Well, at least this company, MemoBot, is a producer of ART USB drives. Basically, they're these fun, outlandishly cartoon-looking USB drives. I know I talked about the Darth Vader one, and I think the Chewbacca one. But I know we talked about those... for a little while, but I haven't seen any ones that I actually wanted to pimp, as it were, lately until I saw this. There are Master Chief MemoBot USB flash drives. You can get them anywhere from 1 to 4 gigs. They'll cost you anywhere from $50 to $109, just to give you the whole 9 yards. So basically, it's 1 gig is $50, 2 gigs $70, and 4 gig is $110. They have them in the Master Chief green, the red, and the blue. Now, if you need me to explain red versus blue, you really need to head on over to redversusblue.com or just do a search for it. Unbelievable comic over there. Not necessarily work safe all the time, but hilarious if you ever get a chance to actually watch them, and you haven't. Fun little launch fact, when I was in line to actually buy the Halo 3 vessel, my brother-in-law and I showed up probably half hour beforehand at this tiny little GameStop right around where I was. Now, by the time we bought Halo 3, and we were like 25th in line or something like that, there were 75 people at this literally hole-in-the-wall strip mall GameStop. I've never seen anyone actually inside this GameStop, but 75 people showed up. I would hate to see what happened to the Best Buy up on the main drag, but it was kind of fun to see, and I've seen some of the other launch videos out there, so it's kind of fun. But yeah, the adorable Master Chief Mimobot, they're a limited run. The Master Chief himself, there's only going to be 3,000 of those made. And then there's 5,000 Master Chiefs, and there's 3,000 each of the red and the blue Spartans. So you can head on over there to check that out. This story is actually from joystick.com. It's the first place I checked it. But you can go to lab.mimoco.com, and if you can't figure that one out, just head on over to caffeination.com. That's nice, easy, rolls off the tongue. And then you can head out and find them. All right, this next one is specifically for one of my best friends on the planet and a listener to the Caffeination podcast, and all the other Lego geeks that are out there. So, Jimmy, this one's for you. I found probably one of the most insane Lego creations ever. When Jimmy was living alone, he actually bought all the different Star Wars Lego kits and was building them in his apartment. And, yes, he actually did have a girlfriend. But it was just kind of funny to see, like, this massive... collection of Star Wars Legos get built up all over the place. Now, I have never seen him have... I don't think he has this one, because I actually think it's a new one. It's a $500, 5,000-piece Millennium Falcon set. It is so monstrous, according to the Sci-Fi Tech blog, that the instructions weigh 4 pounds. So you're talking like a factor of size here. This is just craziness. There's no way to describe what I can only assume is the actual scale of this, and I wish they actually had somebody standing next to it. And they say, of course, this kit is for people who are 16 plus. So I'm only going to assume that they're 16 plus pounds, and we're going to use some of my son's birthday money, and we're probably going to buy this. Just kidding to anybody who's listening who gave him money. It's all going to clothes and other little boy stuff, not big boy stuff, which is why I will steal his toys when he's a little bit older. But yeah, this is just impressive in its scale, and you need to check out the pictures over at the Sci-Fi Tech blog. They actually have an unboxing of it. They have the instructions on one side, then there's like 3 1-pound baggies or 1-pound bins of all this stuff that's over there. I can't even imagine how much this thing weighs once it gets put together. So, and the only thing I can imagine is once it's all put together, once it's all set to jet, can you imagine the little brother that knocks this off the table? Woe unto him. You know what I mean? All right, moving right along here. Now we're out of the truly geeky things. Now we're into a little bit of green tech. This is true green tech. How would you like a wind-up light? Now this is a classic... I guess they're called vase lamps or something like that. The classic little table lamp here has a nice little vase for the bottom that has the lamp up at the top with a nice little shade, except there's one thing. There's a Tinker Toy crank stuck into the side of it. It's like the kind you used to see on like the old school cars, and a lot of the things from Toy Story and stuff like that have this style of crank there. It looks a little bit like a roller skate key. Not that I really had a roller skate key when I was younger, because, you know, we had like, you know, rollerblades and stuff like that, but I have seen roller skate keys, and I actually had one at one point in time, so this thing looks like a giant version of that. Now, what you do is you crank this, and the more you crank, there's no plugs at all, which makes this awesome. It's also a timer, so the longer you crank it, the longer it stays on. Now, this would be perfect for somebody like my wife, who has a habit of, you know, going to sleep with the lights on every once in a while. So she goes over there, she gives it, you know, like, you know, 10, 15 turns or something like that, and by the time, first of all, she's not using any electricity because she created it all herself. Second of all, by the time this thing runs out, she's going to be passed out, and it turns out, and you have a nice dark sleeping environment. Just really cool. Unfortunately, there's no information as to how much this thing cost. We have a $500 Millennium Falcon, but no word on a truly green tech wind-up light. It's kind of an interesting idea. Hopefully, you'll find out a little bit more, and I'll pass it along. All right, build your own steed. From over at Gizmodo.com, we have a fun story here about send Fido into Mordor. I have to get the right. Send Fido into Mordor with confidence in ancient doggy armor. Apparently, a gentleman by the name of Paul Hersey makes fantasy-based armor for use. They actually show three dogs. One's a beagle, and he looks awesome in full, like, fantasy-style armor. He looks quite proud. No obnoxious sweater or anything else like that. No emasculating, frou-frou pink tutu or anything like that. These are truly manly dogs. I'd actually like to see somebody, you know, take like a really massive Rottweiler or something like that, build some armor plating onto the sucker, and then let them loose. Or, you know, at least just walk them down the street. It's just kind of funny to see these tiny little dogs in really badass armor. There's no other way to put it. You can find out more about it over at organicarmor.com. I actually didn't see the link till just now, but that sucks. No word yet on really the price of some of this stuff, but it's all handmade, so you know that it has to be extensively expensive. Just kind of cool. All right. Yeah, unfortunately, he does accept PayPal, which is kind of cool, but they have the For Pets link over there. I'm actually checking it out there. Unfortunately, you have to email him for more info. I guess you have to have your dog sized and the like, but, you know, some of the pictures over there are definitely worth the trip. Just Paul Hersey's Organic Armor. Just give it a shot, you know what I mean? All right, now the next thing we have up here is a very geek thing. Now, why the heck did no one think of this feature before? The Sony G series has done a performance enhancement, has created a new kind of laptop, which has an unbelievable feature. If you pour water on the keyboard, the machine doesn't die. I'm assuming it does this with coffee as well, but there's a fun little system somewhere in there that if you spill water on the thing, it pours the water out the back of the machine. Wow, this is an intelligent idea. This is a great idea. Why has no one done this before? I personally have replaced about 5 or 6 laptops for the faculty at large. I mean, not even talking about just in the department where I work, but, you know, laptops I have seen due to people spilling coffee, to people spilling water. I've spilled water on keyboards. It just happens sometimes, but at the same point in time, no one has ever taken this into account. You're not going to stop people from eating at their desks. What you got to do is build a better mousetrap here. And Sony's actually done that. And not only if the machine becomes too wet to expel the water at a significant rate, does it shut down and turn off the machine, but it's an actual good laptop, and it has the lovely svelte Sony form factor there, so you can check that out. It ships anywhere from between $1,500 and $2,500. It's 12-inch VioG. Unfortunately, it's only in Japan for right now, but we're assuming this is going to come stateside for a little while. Sony's very Japan-centric with a lot of their new technology. Probably one of the reasons why Microsoft hasn't really been able to make a lot of inroads in Japan. It's not necessarily that they have not the cool kid on the block or anything, but I guess they're very protective of their technology and everything else like that. So, interesting idea. Really wish somebody had thought of that one before. All right, now another story up here. Many of you might be familiar with this one, but the Pearl Qatar, a multi-billion-dollar man-made island home. Now, there's a bunch of these new man-made islands that are actually cropping up in all kinds of different shapes, sizes, colors, assortments, and anything else. This one's going to be a resort facility. There's going to be 40,000 people from all over the world. Apparently, the first investors have actually taken up residence or plan to take up residence later on this year, December. So that should be interesting. But at the same point in time, you really got to think, how ridiculous are we getting that people have so much money that they can build their own island? Like, there's not enough stuff out there for you to live already. So it's just... The whole thing is going to be completely finished by 2009, which is unbelievable. But it just reminds me of the fact that, you know, if you're familiar with Douglas Adams and his work, we're approaching Megarathea. You know, we're approaching the level of absurdity that was in his book, which was once deemed too absurd for words. You know what I mean? Megarathea is the mythical planet which creates planets. Basically, rich people in the continuum of this book would go to the planet of Megarathea to build designer planets. Planets made entirely of gold, silver, whatever you wanted. Jello. And they crafted them to your desire. You know, whatever you wanted. So now we have islands on our very own planet that are being built to order. Just seems kind of ridiculous. There's so many other problems in the world. so much money floating around that people really think that the best idea is, you know what? What we don't have enough of is largely flat islands in areas that get hit by tidal waves. Yeah, that's what I don't think we have enough of. So I'm pretty sure they're going to build some kind of crazy system in there to warn them about it. But watch the first one of these to sink. It's just going to be a mess all over the place. Mother Nature does it a lot better. Why don't you just stick to her islands, you know? All right. Next little thing here. We have a fun little internet application. I just kind of wanted to warn people about. It's called thepudding.com. Apparently, the proof is supposed to be in this pudding. But it's provides highly targeted advertisements on your computer screen that are based on what you're talking about. That's because the pudding allows free unlimited calls to any landline in North America. This allows, basically you log in and call someone, just like any other conversation, except with the pudding, they listen in and kind of do the whole ad thing based on that. So that's like having a surveyor sitting right next to you going, oh wow, you know what, you kind of like to talk about coffee, so we're just going to put some of the ads in there. I don't know why people have some, I understand why people have problems with this, because first of all, it's very easy to forget that anything you say is being, you know, culled this way, but, they're doing the same thing as Gmail does. I mean, when you really look at it, if you have a Gmail account, a lot of people just rant, you know, just rave about how good it is. I'm one of them. At the same point in time, you know, Gmail is reading all of your email. They're scanning it and saying, you know what, you use the word coffee a lot. We're going to put a couple coffee ads up there. Maybe you'll click on one of them and we'll make some money from it. Yeah, it's crazy like that. So thepudding.com, just wanted to kind of put it out there, let people know. They're apparently going to be used for demographic research, a whole bunch of different ideas. Now, it's not going to be someone specifically listening to your words. It's going to be a new patented voice sense technology. So if you could probably throw in a couple different accents in there to just screw with it. You know, so you talk normally for a little while, or if you talk with a heavy Philadelphia accent at times, and then all of a sudden you switch into something else. So, you know, and I had like four accents lined up right there that I was going to do, but I don't want to make that much of an ass of myself, so we're just going to move right along. All right. Now, the last little bit we have here in Tech Tidbits today is Spiderboat from over at EcoGeek.com. Apparently, people are all into pimping out their different cars and changing the way that things move. You know, they have the Tesla Roadster and everything else like that. Well, the Tesla Roadster, the people who actually designed it, have turned their attention towards boats. Now, boats have a very stable design base so far. I mean, there's only so many different kinds of vehicles that actually work on water or even under them. And you don't need to have it aerodynamic. It needs to be hydrodynamic is basically the gist of the article. And hydrodynamics are a completely unfettered world out there. The land speed record keeps steadily climbing. The airspeed record keeps steadily climbing. The water speed record is one of those ones that stays relatively close to where it is right now. I honestly don't know what it is, but actually, let me check it out while I'm babbling about other things. But water reacts in strange ways, you know? There's so many deaths related to the water speed record. I believe the last one was actually set. Yeah, it was set in 1978, according to Wikipedia. Yeah, let's see what he actually got up to. Of course, there's all this fun little history. The current record... Oh, wow. No. The current record holder is Ken Warby, Blarring Dam, the 8th of October, 1978. He made it up to 317.596 miles an hour. There's just crazy... I'm sorry, he actually did this test on Blowering Dam. The boat was called the Spirit of Australia. So this is a record that's 29 years old here. So, I mean, the other records get blown away fairly frequently. You need to know a significant amount about hydrodynamics and everything else like that to even attempt that speed record. So for the guys over at Tesla Roadster to actually take this on, not necessarily the speed record, but go for a much more eco-friendly boat, it's a kind of novel idea. So what they did was they actually created a spider catamaran. So they have two pontoons in the water, and the cabin is suspended in the middle. But the cabin is elevated above where the pontoons are significantly, and the pontoons move individually with the waves. So it's called wave adaptive and modular. So basically you can switch out the different kinds of pontoons for different kinds of travel. Really interesting idea, and they say it produces almost no wake for the amount of speed that it can attain. So this is going to be fun to actually check out. And if you head on over to ecogeek.org, you can really check out some of the fun videos. I mean, some of them are kind of, you know, cheesy. They're sitting there cruising around to some funky little synth music and stuff like that. But it's a really interesting idea, and I hope it takes off. So, all right, that's about the end of the tech tidbits we have here for today's Caffeination. We have a couple little informational bits for the caffeinated bits. Not too much to report here, basically. I had a couple ideas for stories, but they kind of didn't pan out. I was going to do a review of some of the fun little caffeinated beverages out there, but I couldn't bring myself to actually buy the Halo game Fuel because I think it's a load of crap. I'm all for buying the video game, all for supporting it that way, but seriously, come on, it's a soft drink. All right, second thing up here, I want to have a little tip out there for everybody. I'm not sure if this will ring true with anybody. If you notice that your coffee is not necessarily tasting correct, if you don't think that what you're getting is the true taste of the coffee, or if you think it's changed recently, you might want to actually take a look at your water and probably invest in one of those Brita water filters or the Pure water filters, because your water might start to be getting like hard. You might have a larger amounts of mineral deposits building up on the machine. If you actually go through and do the vinegar cleaning that we talked about before, your machine will remove most of those deposits and you'll actually have coffee that tastes better. But not only if you do that, but if you try filtered water. Now, we're not talking about going out and buying Dom Perignon. We're not talking about, you know, getting a Perrier, or actually Dom Perignon's freaking champagne. What the hell am I talking about? All right, now we're not talking about getting Perrier. We're not talking about getting any of the fun little Fiji waters or anything like that. No, I'm talking about very simply just buying a Brita water filter or something like that and filtering your water before it goes into your coffee. It will make the beans taste better. Trust me. I don't know why. Presumably, the better stuff you put into anything, you get better product out. And a fun little tip for those of you who may not be in the know, but if you use a fresh water filter in one of those Brita pitchers or something like that, and you have crap vodka, if you pour the vodka through it, and then it strains out some of the impurities. So if you go through it a couple times, you can actually turn crap vodka into not-so-crap vodka. Just a little tip for anybody out there who is curious about trying that. And then the next little thing we have here is a caffeine tip. I'm just going to put this one out specifically to all the students I see trying to pull the all-nighters and everything like that in school. Here's a big, big tip that's going to save you hours of work that you're going to lose if you don't listen to me. Avoid the sugar. Avoid the Red Bull with the sugar. Avoid the massive coffees with like the 49 sugars in it. The sugar is what kills you. It gives you this massive high rush, and you're going like gangbusters, like nobody's business. And then all of a sudden, the sugar peters out a lot quicker than your caffeine buzz would. So if you just do the simple math of eating like a high protein meal, get a hamburger or something like that, something to keep it in there. Then drink a nice big cup of coffee. You will have a much better buzz. You'll be much more awake. You'll have much less jitters, and you're going to be much more productive for longer than if you down a couple Red Bulls. Now, I'm not even saying just Red Bull in general. I'm saying you could also extrapolate this to any of the fun little energy drinks that they have out there. I'm pretty much sure that most of them are crap, but Red Bull actually produces a sugar-free version, so I'd heartily recommend that if you're not into coffee. I've gotten rave reviews from a lot of different people, so I've actually tried it just once, and it tastes pretty much the same to me. So just trust me, anybody out there going to start working on some of those papers and everything, trying to pull the all-nighter, trying to get that last little word in edgewise, avoid the sugar. You will last longer, and it will be much, much more much more productive. So, all right. This has been the Caffeination Podcast, Caffeination 167. I hope you're all right with the way we've done this so far. Kind of a crazy episode. Like I said, I am hyped to be where I am. So we'd just like to thank all of our new and returning listeners one more time. This has been it's been a great ride so far. 167 episodes in the can, 173 if you count the miscellaneous shows here and there. So thank you so much for all of your support. Now just remember, you can find this episode over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. It's over at techpodcasts.com, where all of the member shows have agreed to create family-friendly, child-safe, and educational content. We're also a proud member of over at blueberry.com. That's blubbery, B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. It's a social podcasting network site. It's blueberry without the E's. us. It's like MySpace for podcasts. And speaking of MySpace, you can head on over to myspace.com/caffeination and enjoy us there as well. Our email address for comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, whatever else you'd like to throw our direction is caffeination@gmail.com. The phone number you may dial to leave your comments, feedback, suggestion, hate, voicemail, or whatever is 215-240-1319. Skype ID with no voicemail there yet. We're working towards getting that. Is the caffeination all one word? And, if you have a couple minutes and you don't mind giving us some information, you're not directly identified with any of it, please head on over to caffeination.com and click the audience survey. Help us out trying to get some more advertisers in here, trying to make the podcast that much better. All right, well, thanks for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.